Amen. All right, so we will continue discussing where we started last week, and you'll recall as we were working through these survey questions, there were several with regard to men and women, their creation and original sin, and then the roles of men and women, and if those roles matter, if they are still relevant today, that we would even be talking about those things. And obviously, I don't think there's any disagreement in this room as to whether or not those things are important and necessary to uphold. But very, very much the case that we need to be clear on these things. And even as you think about, Ronnie and I were just talking about this, not only the cultural climate, but even our political climate now, and things that are being discussed and passed through Congress with regard to human sexuality are rather alarming, not only because of what that means for where we are culturally and socially, but what that the ramifications are of these things for the church. To discuss what we're discussing with regard to the God created designations with regard to men and women are things that have been agreed upon and understood and discussed as they are for all of human history up until about 15 minutes ago. And now all of a sudden to say these things are considered hateful and bigoted and very possibly at some point will be criminalized. So nevertheless, we need to be clear as to what the scriptures say. And this is sort of a watershed moment, I think, for the church in terms of human sexuality to talk about it as the Bible prescribes, lest we compromise what God has said is right and true. And it's certainly a moment of letting God be true and every man a liar. And so I think it's important that we continue to think about these things, even though I think probably most of us could go through this discussion fairly easily. But we did discuss briefly last week some of the challenges, and we looked at God's creation of mankind. I want to talk a bit this morning about something that we call the cultural mandate, and this being part of mankind. And I say man, I'm speaking of men and women, man's responsibility within the created order, and how we see that was given at the very beginning in the garden. And so both men and women, we absolutely affirm, have the unique place in God's creation, we looked at last time, to wield dominion, to have dominion over all the earth. That's mainly what we discussed. So God blessed Adam and Eve. He gave them this role of taking dominion over the creation. So let's look again. I want to just be fresh on the text. Go to Genesis 1. Turn on your Bibles. perfect, yeah. Gold-leafed pages straight from heaven. Genesis 1, someone read for us verses 28 through 30. Thank you. So what is the responsibility that God gives to mankind here? Okay, be fruitful and multiply. Now, obviously, we understand that referring to bearing and raising children, but that's more expansive than that, right? What else would that include? Okay, yeah. So in the spiritual sense, that we have a responsibility with regard to, and I think in a way we can look at what Jesus calls us to in the Great Commission, that we're multiplying with regard to the church, definitely. What else? Okay. Yep. Yep, good. What else? As we think of what it means to be fruitful, what we're talking about in terms of our being created in God's image, we are created as sub-creators, if you will. And so we have not only the opportunity, but a responsibility to be creative in our endeavors, whatever those are. And this is part of this mandate, why we call it the cultural mandate, that God has given to his people, that we are called to create culture. And we understand this as being, like I said, sub-creators. God is the creator. He provides the materials to do this. But he gives us the minds and the ideas and the understanding and everything that's necessary in order to do that. And so part of what we see in the garden, and this to a large extent is another class altogether, but the responsibility that Adam had in the garden was to expand its borders, right? That as he's cultivating the earth, as he's planting new plants, and as however that went, as he's putting seeds in the ground that would flourish with no weeds or diseases or terrible bugs or whatever, that they're growing and they're springing up. And so the idea that we have is that the borders of the garden are expanding outward. And it's to be something that is getting larger and larger. The idea being that eventually it would fill the earth. But obviously that came to a crashing halt. And so the cultural mandate is just that we are seeking to be fruitful and multiply in this world in looking to this mandate that God has given. And God even gave instructions to Israel to be responsible stewards of all that he had given them, their land, their animals, and with that to build, to create, and God cares about these things. Remember, it's been a while now, we looked at what God shows us about art and music and all these things, and who were the kinds of people that he used to create those things. It wasn't someone who sort of does these things for fun on the side. He wanted the best, the greatest, right, to come and to beautify everything that was being created by his people. And so this is part of our responsibility, that we're having and raising children, and in so doing, I hope, as a church especially, that we are teaching them that part of their role of being human beings is that they are seeing what is good and true and beautiful, and they are creating, and that creating is bringing glory to God. So that's part of what God has commanded us. And in so doing, God has given us all of the resources that we need to be utilized at our disposal. But as we discussed last week, that's really important that as we think about that we do so responsibly. Because we have part of that mandate is to care for the world and not just go around and destroy it. And so we have a responsibility there as well. Now we understand that in time, when Christ returns, there's a new creation and all will be made well and restored. But until that time, what does the Bible say the earth is doing? Yeah, groaning with eager longing for that day. That as hard as we may try, we will never return the earth to its original glory. We will never be able to reestablish the garden. That is a work that only God can do in the new creation. But that also doesn't mean we should be reckless or wasteful or that we shouldn't fulfill what God called us to. These are things that God commands regardless of whether or not the circumstances are ideal, right? And since it is a mandate that is given prior to the fall, who is that for? Who is the cultural mandate given to? Right. All of mankind. We understand these commands that are given in the garden pre-fall are for mankind. And so when you look at something like marriage, for example, this was created by God in the garden. This is not just for Christians, but it's something that we should celebrate for all of mankind, that that men are marrying women and that they are having marriages whereby they are fruitful and multiplying. This is something that God wants from human beings, not just his people, although we obviously desire that to be the case in the church especially. So man's dominion over creation, along with his responsibility to subdue it and develop its potential, this is what we call, as I said already, the cultural mandate, that all of these things come together in this command, that we have the responsibility to fill the earth with the glory of God through all that we seek to accomplish. And only, even though it is, and like anything, even though it is something given to all humanity, it is a mandate that can only be fulfilled in terms of its true potential to, or its intention of God to bring glory to him. That's only ultimately done by those whose heart is set upon bringing glory to God in so doing. So, now, who is responsible for this cultural mandate? Is it men? Is it women? Who is it? Okay, yeah, good. It's ultimately the responsibility of this, sort of in broad category, is for mankind, that we are all, or as Justin Trudeau might say, people kind, whatever in the world that means. Did you guys see that? That was a while ago. A girl asked a question, and she said something about mankind, and he stopped her, and he said, "We like to say people kind." If that's not mansplaining, I don't know what is. A man telling a woman she can't say mankind because they prefer people kind up there in Canada, eh? So this responsibility, this cultural mandate, is for all of mankind. But more specifically, men and women are given unique responsibilities within that. We don't all have the same function. Now, this is really where we start to see the rub with culture, and even if you've paid any attention to the news this week, if you don't, I don't blame you. It's all terrible. There was a news story about what is going on with regard to the military and the promotion of certain things within the military, and now the Pentagon is responding to that, and basically all of this involves the question about, ultimately, here's the main question that's being addressed that no one's actually saying, is whether or not women belong in those kinds of roles. Should we send our women to fight our wars? No one wants to talk about that, so instead we talk about making uniforms that they can wear while they're pregnant and things along those lines. So, okay. So these questions are very important for us to be thinking about today. And the rub is that we would have the audacity to say that there are certain things that men are called to do, there are certain things that women are called to do, and they're not always the same things. And that's okay. It doesn't make one better than the other. It makes us different. In the same way that if you work at a workplace, You have a job, and someone else has a job, and they're not necessarily the same job. I don't know that I want Jeff working in the accounting department at Gulfstream, and I don't want Russ working as a mechanic at Gulfstream. We'd see a lot of planes falling out of the sky. So we have specific roles, right? And those roles are given to us by God in terms of what they are as men and women. And the Bible both explicitly and implicitly teaches that men and women are of equal value, are of equal worth, and of equal importance. At the very outset in the book of Genesis, God makes very clear that mankind is made in his image. And that right there establishes our equality in terms of being men and women. There's a common humanity among the sexes, and yet there are unique roles. And these are not just unique roles for men and women, but even more specifically, there are unique roles to be fulfilled between husbands and wives, who are both Christians and fellow heirs of the grace of the life of Jesus Christ, as Peter says. So we stand together in terms of our being created in God's image, being a fallen race in Adam, in our need for redemption in Christ, our need for our eyes to be set upon the cross. All of these things we look at, and this is what Paul means when he says, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. Right now, this is a text that is often abused, brutally abused, to say, well, see, what the Bible is saying is that we should all be egalitarian. It's all equal across the board. There are no differences. Men and women are essentially the same. The Lord doesn't see any differences. That's not what Paul is saying, is it? In the context of what he is saying there is that in Christ, we are standing on level ground, and in our need for redemption, we are standing on level ground. It is completely, totally, 100% related to our justification. That's what Paul is referring to and why he is also mentioning all these other groups of people. He's saying God does not look onto someone in terms of their salvation and make that determination based on where they're from geographically, what they look like, how much they have, if they're a man or a woman. It's just one of a list of things to say God saves all kinds of people from all kinds of places. It has nothing to do with making a statement with regard to gender roles or identity. So, all right, so what are these roles? Let's take the daring step and discuss what the roles of men and women are and how we should see them. What are some of the roles that we see? We'll begin with the fairer of the sexes. Let's talk about women. What are the roles that God has set for women in the Scriptures? Okay, keepers of the home. I assumed I would hear that first from a man. Very good. It's true, God. No, God gave, he gave this unique role to women. It's a primary role. Now, again, with many of these, this doesn't mean that that the other sex, whatever the role is, cannot and does not participate in these things, but there are primary responsibilities laid, right? And this is one that God has given, a very unpopular one, but certainly a role that God has given. As a helper, yeah. Within the marital relationship, that a wife is given as a helper to her husband, that whatever, and we might even say whatever way he is serving within, specifically as Christians, within the church, that she is a support, a helper in terms of praying and encouraging, and if there's opportunities for her to come alongside and continue to support whatever that work is that he is doing. All of these things are a part of that in terms of helping to fulfill this cultural mandate within that relationship. What else? Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, so very unique role for mothers in relationship to their children. Obviously, as Ronnie just said, once again, despite what you may hear out there, men are not able to have children. I know we have to make that clear, but now the statement is, it's not, since it's not men or women, it's those who are pregnant, I think is how we're supposed to say that. And it's not women, it's W-O-M-X-N, because they're trying to take out the word men from women, and some women identify as men, and some men identify as women, so you can't say women, because that doesn't really... And so, that is a thing. Try and unravel that yarn ball. Yes, this is a unique role, right? To bear children and to nurture children, right? In terms of the raising of children, the primary responsibility of nurture is given to the mother, right? This is why our children generally, when they get hurt or whatever else, who do they want? They want their mom most of the time. Now, there may be some other dynamics in the home, but that's generally the case. I know, believe it or not, my kids run to their mother. The best time is when they wake up before us, and I'm still sleeping while they're having a conversation on the other side of the bed, because they want their mom, you know? Sorry. I can't help it. You love them too closely. But God's created us this way, right? That fathers have a role of leadership in the home, and that includes being the primary disciplinarian, right? And so moms are there to help dads to temper that appropriately, because sometimes we might need someone to sort of reel us in and be our helper, as we said, that we not go too far with those things. So we have this unique, very unique, and very important responsibility, and this is one of the sad realities of our culture of broken homes, is that you don't have the unique influences of both mothers and fathers in many homes, and as a result of that, we see many challenges arising within the culture of the demanning, if you will, of young boys, and the more masculine trait appearing in young girls. Again, Ronnie and I were just talking about that. Young women are becoming far more aggressive, and young men are becoming far more feminized in many ways. And this is in large part because these roles have not been well-defined for a few generations now, and in so doing, homes have broken, and so young boys raised by their moms with sisters are feminized, and young ladies raised by their dads are brought to be a bit more masculine, oftentimes, not always, obviously, and not necessarily laying blame on parents for doing this, but this is how God created them. He created mothers to be mothers and fathers to be fathers, and to try to assume an additional role on top of that is a very difficult thing to do with the proper balance. So these roles are very important and very unique. What else? Is there anything else you can think of in terms of a woman's role? Yeah, Heather. Yeah, great, great. To encourage, to disciple, to walk alongside other women, and specifically in Titus, we see the command that the older women are pouring their lives into the younger women, and they're taking seriously this responsibility, that the idea being that they have walked the road of life much longer, and hopefully as Christians, and in so doing, they have much wisdom to share to help young ladies, young mothers, young single women, and all of these are important. And obviously, we see the same for men, the same responsibility, the same calling. But I guarantee you, those sessions of encouragement look very different. Right? Usually, women are going to encourage each other by sort of, you know, stuff that if a man told me, I would want to punch him in the throat. Right? Don't flower me up. I don't want all of that. Right? Shoot me straight. And often, women are going to be encouraging each other, not by telling them, you know, you suck, stop sucking. And guys want to hear that, right? But women don't want to hear that most of the time. So we are even different in how those things play out. And that, again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't encourage one another, men encouraging women, women encouraging men, but there is a unique role there, right? That we should look to one another in terms of the sexes, and we should communicate these things to each other in appropriate ways. Yeah.
Like that's really important, but we kind of get molded.
Absolutely.
And they're able to sense things in people that we don't feel or see. And I think that would build into this, like, it helps us to harmonize, because there's times in an emergency situation where you just have to cut right and make a decision. Mm-hmm. There's times where you need to contemplate and see things
differently. Yeah. I think they balance one another out of doing that. Absolutely. I think, as we talk about marriage specifically, we'll talk about the role of men, husbands, fathers taking the role of leadership within the home. But if he's doing that without the input of his wife, her very unique input, then he's gotten it all wrong. The Lord has given that relationship so that we can do as Ronnie's saying and see the varied angles of this. I talk with couples all the time when I'm doing any counseling. If you want to sort of think of the common, and again, all of these are common, not necessarily absolutes, but the difference between a man's brain and a woman's brain and how we think and how we organize our thoughts and our tasks and everything else, a man's brain is generally more like something like an ice tray. Everything has its own separate compartment, and my life, I'm doing this right now, and that doesn't include all the other stuff. It's just this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing, and we sort of have these little trays that everything goes into. And women, you take all of the things going on in her life, and it's like a plate of spaghetti, right? It's all intertwined, and this matters because this matters, and all of these things matter together at the same time. And I'm, you know, you're able to think about all of those interconnected pieces. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God puts us together then to make decisions with one another. Now, that's part of the challenge sometimes, but it helps us to, when we do this in a godly manner and we're patient with one another and we're walking together knowing these differences and seeing them as a gift to us as opposed to a challenge to conquer and overcome, then we can walk in a more fruitful and godly manner to fulfill our callings as husbands and wives and as a married couple. So, again, these, you know, sometimes, I know I'm stereotyping, but sometimes they may be a bit different, but by and large, this is how we see that God has created us. So, good. Well, what about men? What are the unique roles that God has given to men? Okay, good. Protectors. We have a unique role to protect, and especially to protect women and children, right? That we have this role that God gave to husbands with regard to their wives, but that we should be the ones who are taking taking the lead in terms of offering protection. And I believe that expands beyond the home It is also what it means to love our neighbor. And if that also can include that we are fulfilling roles in society as law enforcement or military, that we have a unique role in that to protect our neighbor, our state, our nation, where God has placed us to live. I do believe that that is a unique role that God has given to men to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. That and you see that in the Bible, right? That when it was only when the men sort of took a back seat on everything that God started putting women in these roles that He had established for men to fulfill. And it's not doing that because He wants women to have to take that position, and it's not saying anything bad about women. It's saying you should not be put in this position to have to do this. It's really an indictment on men. It's not anything other than that. It's to say the men are weak, and so He calls on the women to fill that role. And that's a bad thing when you start to see the world around you sort of crumble into this, where none of the men are men. Remember, I love that passage. Be a man. That's what the scriptures say. Be a man. And if no one's telling men to be men, then these things have to be fulfilled by someone. And so the Lord will sometimes raise certain women to do that. But that's not the norm, and that's not what God desires. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Wow. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Sure. Yeah, I would assume it would be. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't imagine that even happening today in a neighborhood like that, but yeah, I bet. Yeah, and that's, again, I think what you're saying, Mark, is a good illustration of this, that there's a unique responsibility there, that the men in a community would rise up and would hold others responsible, so there's that, but also to protect, to see there's a problem and to act, and to not say, it's not my responsibility. No, it is your responsibility. You are your brother's keeper. You have a role to play here when the Lord has brought this by His providence into your life, whether you want to or not. So, there's more to say, but we're out of time. So, when we all arrive on time next week, we will pick up where we left off. So, let's pray. Father, thanks again for our time. We are grateful.